This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. All right, did they clean the studio? That's all I got to know. I'm actually fairly, particular. I walk out of the studio.
Oh, they did clean it. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I walk out of this studio every night. It is immaculate. You have seen me now for a year, wipe down everything in this place. Everything gets cleaned up. I'm a little paranoid about that stuff, man. That's why I won't be going to the city of Ramsey anytime soon. I can just let you know. Thanks for letting me know, guys.
I don't even get the logic of what they're thinking in that tone.
It's not logic. It's political bravado. It's we're doing it because everything I got to look at is filtered through a political lens. Since he's saying wear face masks, I'm going to be on the side of freedom, not the freedom of the people who are going to kill, mind you. No, not their freedom. Their freedom doesn't matter. But my freedom, because I want chicken wings, so I don't care who gets sick. That's kind of the mentality.
Idiocy. That I don't know how else to describe it. You're just an idiot if you're, let's repeal the face mask because we can clearly override the governor and the state government. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Good luck with that, guys.
Well, thanks for letting us know. I won't be coming to Ramsey.
Yeah.
I won't stop for gas. I won't do anything there just because, I'm not, until this thing is taken care of, I'm not going to risk it. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. A lot to get to today, including we have one Jeff McGillicuddy Stein going to join us here in a little bit. We're going to talk with him about the breaking news, which is, a lot of breaking news going on right now. The breaking news in regards to the approval of the stimulus package, which, yay, good news there. And so, that has been approved. So I don't know. The first time, how long did it take for checks to get out? And reminder, one of the things which really kind of was, they last time, if I remember correctly, there was the deal with, where Trump wanted to put his names on the checks. And so that delayed things. I don't know how quick it's going to be, but it is something we'll have to, hopefully soon, because a lot of people need it. That's for sure. A lot of people do need it. I want to start off, though, obviously, with the big news that we're following here, the Derek Chauvin trial. I've had an eclectic day, to say the least. Because I have meetings this evening, I had to get I got dinner ready to go with barbecue sandwiches. Looked pretty good. Had to get my tax stuff ready to go because we're doing a virtual tax appointment coming up here on Friday. I had to clean out a gutter because all of a sudden it was raining like it was May. And so I had a gutter in the middle of a rainstorm. Nothing gets the disposition brighter than being in the middle of a rainstorm, a cold rainstorm, mind you, and having to strip down a gutter outside to try to get it cleared out. Thank you. That was nice.
Now, are you like my dad who always waits for a thunderstorm and then goes and cleans the gutters?
No, this was, we are pretty paranoid. I grew up in a family where, that was kind of one of those things you always did. And so I got silver maple, so I got the damn helicopters, and I got the leaves. And so it's something I have to – and then, of course, you just get regular sticks and twigs that fall off the thing. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. I mean, we cleaned them out, the gutters out, right before snow started to fly in October of this last year. And then I think we did go back out in November as well and clean them out again. A stick got down in that drain, and he's like, okay, that's not good. And so I managed to get it pulled apart. But it's been an eclectic day. When I went to drop off the stuff for my tax appointment on Friday, I was in South Minneapolis, 46 in Chicago area. And where? And I don't mind saying that. I don't mind any problem saying it. We've got it on tape. South Minneapolis is a predominantly white part of town. And I mean, you had pretty much every other house, Black Lives Matter, justice for George Floyd, a George Floyd memorial that there is out there. The impact is is undeniable. And it's what's going to happen in the next few weeks is going to have incredible amount of reverberation throughout the city of Minneapolis, as well as the state, as well as the country. I mean, it comes down to this. Can a police officer murder someone on camera right in front of everyone? And is there any punishment whatsoever for them? And, you know, there. Trust me, a lot of Republicans say, nope, as long as it's a black guy. Mind you, if it's a wealthy white kid out in the suburbs or a rural white kid, well, no, questions need to be answered. But if it's a black guy, they don't care. There are a lot of Republicans that are like that. We'll have to see who gets this trial. I'm a little depressed about how this the jury selection is going so far. The latest update, and this could be, we could be updating this even further before the day is out here. Five jurors are now seated in the trial of Derek Chauvin at the death late last spring of George Floyd. Minnesota Supreme Court denied the defendant's bid to block reinstatement of an additional murder charge. Jury selection was well into its second day when the state's high court said, without elaboration, that it would not hear Chauvin's argument to overturn an appeals court ruling that said a third-degree murder charge against Chauvin was improperly dismissed by District Judge Peter Cahill. The judge announced the developed court Wednesday afternoon and said he would address the matter on Thursday morning. So basically, the appeals court is, it needs to be put back in there. Supreme Court's not weighing in on it, so it should be in there, you know, or else, you know, and maybe, I don't know Cahill. I don't know who this guy is. Maybe this guy really honestly feels that with the way the law is that this is wrong, and so he might, maybe he removes himself from the case. I don't know. Obviously, that will delay things for a while, but we'll have to find out. Prosecutors had argued Monday that the entire trial should be suspended since Chauvin's attorney, Eric Nelson, had asked the Supreme Court to intervene. Attorney General Keith Ellison's office called the Court of Appeals on Monday, filed a motion asking it to postpone the trial until there was a resolution, but no guidance was given and selection began on Tuesday morning. The two newest members of the jury bring the number of white men on the panel to three, along with a woman of color and a black man, for a trial that promises to take a substantial amount of time addressing race in the context of a white police officer's detention of a black suspect who died later that evening. All right, well, you know, died because there was a knee on the back of his neck. I'm going to let you know. While more jury candidates are being brought into the courtroom one by one for questioning, the Court of Appeals could intervene at any moment and halt the murder trial that is being live streamed. Wednesday's first selected, not so worried about being on the jury during a pandemic or troubled by the security in place around the Hennepin County Government Center, but how a trial poised to eat up most of April might impact the timing of a wedding he has set for May 1st in Florida. If I'm part of this jury, I will not be getting married on that date, he said, before drawing chuckles with, that's me answering, not my fiance. Sure enough, the man was added to the jury, with Cahill offering him with a presumed masked smile, go ahead and throw me under the bus with your fiance. The native of central Minnesota, who is white and works in sales data, is a father who enjoys sports and music. He said he saw the video of Floyd's death and reacted negatively. He answered on his questionnaire that he understood Floyd was under the influence and somewhat unruly. What? Well, the under the influence, that's right-wing media. That's kind of the spin that the pro-police union folks have been putting out there. That he was a demon creature. There was a kindergarten a mile away. He was going to kill every child in there. Thank God. Thank God. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, calm rhetoric that they like to put out on this. Which makes me ask the question, wait a minute here. Okay, so there's a woman that you, the first woman, the first trial, the first juror that was, you know, was interviewed and I think then was turned away. She said that the unjust death of George Floyd. And you said, nope, that's not going to happen. How in the world is it that someone could spew right-wing talking points that are designed to basically turn Chauvin into some sort of misguided rapscallion? I guess he needs a little police training. How in the world is that guy made on the jury? That bugs me quite a bit. Somewhat unruly, dude. Take a look at the freaking video. Brett, am I crazy? Did I see anything in that 9-minute video? Did you see anything that led to you to believe that was unruly?
Not even in the same universe to think he was unruly. What are they talking about?
When pressed by Chauvin's attorney, Nelson, on why he believed that that juror said, I'm assuming there someone is in handcuffs. They're in handcuffs for a reason. Yeah, because he was black. Because he was black. That's why he was in handcuffs. Because that's how the police in Minneapolis operate. Put the cuffs on them, presume they're guilty first, and then figure out what you're going to do with them. He also said he believes a police officer is more trained to assess the situation and share it in a court format versus a civilian who might be more emotionally based. However, he marked down the justice system for making arrests for this small offense like marijuana and slightly skewed towards black Americans. I wish our country and world would do better than that. I do have belief that people are treated differently because of the color of their skin. Still, the fact this guy was spewing right-wing talking points doesn't, you know, encourage anything. When you look at the phrase Black Lives Matter, yes, they do matter, and I don't see why anyone would be against that movement, he said, adding that he finds the co-opted phrase Blue Lives Matter in support of police short-sighted, although he does support law enforcement. The fifth juror cleared to serve is a black man who immigrated to the United States 14 years ago for school in Nebraska, moved to Minneapolis and Minnesota in 2012. I don't know if he moved to Minneapolis. He moved to Minnesota in 2012. He said during questioning that he feels it's his civic duty to be on the jury and promised, I will follow the law despite forming a negative view of Chauvin based on the seeing part of the viral video of Floyd's arrest. When relating to Floyd's death and saying to the defense attorney that it could be anybody, could be you, the multilingual IT manager also said, I believe that I would be impartial. During each of the 3 days so far, Chauvin has paid close attention during the lines of questioning, taking notes and looking on intently. After extensive questioning, prosecutors chose to strike an attorney sitting on the panel. The white woman in her 30s said she works exclusively on civil litigation and her only professional exposure to criminal side of things was in her law school studies. She said she had seen small portions of the heavily mentioned video and was clear in declaring that it was neutral view of both Chauvin and Floyd. The woman added that her legal background would be an asset. I think it'd be very good at juror. Dismissed from the pool was a white woman who lived in Minneapolis for more than 40 years and said she'd seen portions of the video a few times after Floyd's death, and it left her wanting to know more. There's undoubtedly more information that I don't have, said the marketing professional who grew up in Western Minnesota, so I'm not in the position to judge. There has to be more of what's going on here. Usually there is a series of events that happened. I need to know more to have a firm opinion. Question on her opinion of the Black Lives Matter movement. She said, Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter is the beginning and the end of it. The prosecution struck the woman from consideration ahead of the question of the day's third jury candidate. The day's third prospective juror, who is of Asian descent and a father of three girls, said he wanted to be on the jury, but not only to help deliver justice, but to possibly see how public policy might prevent the same result in a similar incident. When Nelson pressed him on that motivation, the man said, the case is the case. As I see it now, policy is not decided here. Policy is decided somewhere else. My duty is about the case. That ended Nelson's questioning of the man, and the defense jury struck him from the possible seat of the jury. Nelson rejected the next candidate as well, hearing that the man had reservations about Chauvin's right to not testify at trial. The real estate professional, who is white, had a daughter who was marched in the protest. There's always something about that over my lifetime that hasn't quite felt right. You know, I mean, dear Lord, it's we can't just have the jury of your peers is the jury of your peers. And, you know, it seems to me right now, I'm a little concerned about how this screening process is going. I'm more than a little concerned about that. Two of the other former Minneapolis officers charged in connection to George Floyd's death will not be testifying in the Chauvin trial, according to Chauvin's defense attorney, Nelson. Nelson mentioned this on Wednesday while discussing a motion to exclude the statements of Thomas Lane and To Tao. Both men gave voluntary taped statements to the BCA under the guidance of lawyers, and they understand their statements could be used against them. I confirmed with each of the attorneys last night that they are not permitting their clients to testify in this trial. I would have no ability to cross-examine those particular statements. Anything else I think is fair game, said Nelson. The prosecution raised possible issue of experts relying on their statements. Trial Judge Peter Cahill said at this point he will only allow experts to say they reviewed the ex-officer's statements. not going to permit it unless you get permission from the court at the time, show a good need to actually get the substance to form the basis of the expert, because the expert's testimony is not to be used at the back door to get an otherwise inadmissible hearsay, said Cahill. The two officers and Alexander Kung all are charged with aiding and abetting second-degree murder and aiding and abetting second-degree manslaughter. Their trial is scheduled to begin in August. Floyd's health on the trial as well. The Washington Post's Lenny Bernstein and Holly Berry, when Chauvin's trial for his alleged role in Floyd's death begins, much of the argument will center instead on the autopsy details, most specifically whether fentanyl and underlying health conditions, not the police officer's actions, stopped Floyd's heart and lungs. Seven experts in toxicology, cardiology, and illegal drug use consulted by the Washington Post largely disagreed with that idea, most of them strenuously. All but one said the autopsy finding and the other court documents, coupled with the well-known chain of events that evening, made death by fentanyl overdose unlikely to impossible. But that's what they're going to argue, because, dear Lord, isn't that the Minneapolis Police Department's main, argument when they shoot someone unjustly? It's like, well, they were a gangbanger. They were a drug dealer. They were druggies. They don't care about reality. They got a character assassinate while the officer stashes all of his money so that the victim can't get anything in a civil trial. You've got to have some level of justice here. You can't have legal murder via the badge. You just can't. That's not a society. That's a Republican encouraged police state that only is engaged when it comes to liberals and black people and Latinos and Native Americans. I'll tell you what, I'm going to take a break. Come on back. Let me give you a great example of how the legal system in this freaking country is so damn broken. I got another court case here that just, once again, mind-boggling. There aren't more serious charges. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Once again, Jeff Stein coming up here in about 10 minutes. AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I should mention, I think there's a tornado watch in effect for just south of the metro area. It does not include Hennepin County, but just south of us, heading down into Iowa town towards Des Moines. This is an odd storm, man, but it's raining a lot. But just if you're heading south of the metro area, just be advised there could be some serious weather heading in that direction. Randy is in St. Cloud. Welcome on in, Randy. Thanks for holding. Appreciate it.
Well, I am Randy of St. Cloud, but I moved and I now live in Preston, which is south of Rochester, so apparently there's a tornado headed towards me.
All right, right now?
Yeah, well, I don't know. This is the first I heard of it, was you talking about...
Well, it's a tornado watch. It's not anything more than that. Oh, a tornado watch, so just keep that in mind. No problem. But just you be careful down there. Randy in Preston. Now you're Randy in Preston, okay?
Okay. I just wanted to say I probably should be on Derek's defense team, because I have figured out how to link the fentanyl to George Floyd. He worked part-time as a bouncer at a music establishment and probably had heard and probably had even seen Prince.
Randy, I feel like you're kind of misguided right now. So just FYI, there is no fentanyl. Okay, there is no. The guys at Cup Foods called because they thought there was a $20, fraudulent bill, and the next thing you know, George Floyd's dead. So don't be blithe, don't be glib, don't be anything like that. The reality is that this is they're going to try to see this, and it shouldn't be joked about. Because they're going to try to get a police officer who murdered a man on camera off with these, shenanigans. So, and by the way, Randy, all my best down in Prescott, I'm going to just say this. If you ever think that you want to be on or joke about wanting to be on Chauvin's defense team, I don't want to hear from you. I don't want to hear from you. Okay. I should say this. There is indeed, apparently, Sven Sundgaard is posting, there's a tornado warning for Southeast Metro area right now. It's so just FYI, indeed, there is a, you know, there's a tornado warning in effect for the Southeast Metro area. Newport, Cottage Grove, looks like Woodbury, might be Oakdale as well. So just keep that in mind on the east side of town, 952-946-6205. A former Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport electrician has been put on probation in order to serve home detention for stealing $125,000 worth of copper wire from a project site. Now, Brett, to my knowledge, George Floyd was murdered by a police officer because they thought there was a counterfeit 20, correct?
And that's often forgotten, and you are correct. That's all it was over.
It was allegedly, because my knowledge, I don't know if they ever found a counterfeit 20. I don't think that was ever presented as any kind of evidence, but it was the allegation of a counterfeit $20 bill. This guy, who is white, Kip Baldwin is his name, this guy steals $125,000 worth of copper wire, and he's given probation and home detention. Wow. Kip Baldwin, 60, of Bloomington, sentenced Monday by Hennepin County District Court after pleading guilty to theft by swindle and filing a false tax return. I don't know, $125,000. Did any officer bust him, put him on the ground, and put a knee in the back of his neck? $125,000 is a lot of money. Did that happen? Baldwin was put on 5 years probation. Oh, 5 full years, you say? And sentenced to more than 5 months of electronic home monitoring. Gee willikers. Can you imagine what the sentence would be if a black man had stolen $125,000 worth of copper wire? They would have thrown the freaking book at that guy. We're going to send a message. 5 years probation, 5 months of electronic monitoring. His plea deal reached in January included dismissal of 5 counts of filing a false tax return. He's also ordered to do electrical work as part of his sentencing. Gee willikers. Airport police received a tip on October 19th, 2019, from a Metropolitan Airports Commission employee who suspected Baldwin was stealing copper starting as far back as 2015. Baldwin had worked for the MAC for 20 years. MAC records show he worked as an electrician foreman and earned up to $133,000 in 2019. Then fired in March of 2020. He worked weekdays but also would show up on weekends. A large construction project with several contractors was underway. MAC electricians don't work with contractors who remove and retain materials from construction sites. Baldwin allegedly used his work badge to access secure areas of Terminal 1, removed copper items, hid them in electric rooms, stripped the wires, and later removed them from the airport. Baldwin was arrested and admitted taking materials from the construction site. However, the search of his home and vehicles yielded several boxes of wire and $10,000 in a safe. He also had several investment and retirement accounts totaling more than $1.3 million. So this guy steals $125,000. By the sounds of it, could have stolen more. They just caught him on this. And one of the things I would do, I think with the catalytic converter story, where the catalytic converters are being stolen, it's clear the salvage yards are taking a lot of this stuff. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know what I mean? I think there clearly is a level of criminal activity happening at these salvage yards when some guy rolls up with 20 pounds of copper wire and they do don't ask, don't tell. I mean, how else is he selling this stuff? You know, there's a large problem here with scrap metal that definitely needs to be addressed. And I think you have to look at the salvage yards and basically say, you got a piece of scrap on this yard that you don't have a receipt for and we don't know exactly where it came from. You're just as guilty as the person that stole it. But needless to say, if you're a white guy and you steal $125,000 worth of copper wiring, guess what? You get 5 years probation, 5 months of staying in the old house. Hope you got Netflix. If you get accused of counterfeiting a $20 bill, accused, and you're black, 4 police officers will come and kill you. 952-946-6205. Brad, call back after we get done with Jeff here in the next hour. 952-946-6205. Jeff Stein, when we do return, it is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Jeff, Jeff.
Jeff Stein, kind enough to join us here. Jeff, of course, you can find his books over at Next Chapter Books, also totallyiowa.com. The Iowa Business Report is the show that he does down there in Iowa. And, of course, the Iowa Politics Report comes from KXEL, Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff. How are you today?
That's not ever going to get old.
It's you. I can tell you're smitten.
I was clapping in the background at the right parts. You haven't sent it to me yet. You guys have got to send it to me.
Brett?
Oh, we got to do that for sure.
All right, Brett's on it. Just send it to me. I'll send it down to him. You know, you can give it to me. I'll make sure he gets it.
Jeff going to put that on his playlist on his phone?
I think he's going to make it
one song.
Just to make it his doorbell.
I think it has to be well, we talked about, you know, you said I would never use it as a theme for my radio show. I think you're wrong. I think that's right. That's number one on the list. Yeah.
Jeff, we're going to, because obviously the first half of this hour, we're talking heavily about the Chauvin trial here in Minneapolis. I want to turn attention to the other breaking news story. House Democrats gave final approval Wednesday to the $1.9 trillion. Going back to Joe Biden's desk now for the signature, 220 to 211, one Democrat, Jared Golden, joining all Republicans to oppose the bill. First of all, your thoughts on this bill, because, I mean, obviously, just economically, it's, you know, it is definitely something. I mean, one of the things that I've been impressed with Biden so far is there really is a practical meat and potatoes mentality to this guy dealing with this pandemic. Get the vaccines, get the elderly people, the vulnerable people, the doctors, the nurses, get them vaccinated, help everyone else out. Now we're getting a stimulus package that's going to, it's actually somewhat bottom heavy, which is good. And it's going to help out a lot of people. Your thoughts on it, though?
The concern I have is if this is going to overheat things. And this is a new phrase that I keep hearing, overheating the economy. Is it too much at any given time? Now, President Biden has said that as opposed to when he was vice president and they were trying to take care of some things, they went a little small in terms of government intervention. And so his idea is better to go too far than not far enough. And he has made that very clear. He said that over and over again. I would have liked to have seen something potentially a little smaller, given that there had just a month ago been a very large bill. But look, the votes are there. Elections have consequences. And the question is this the last big, big bill? Big spending bill I'm talking about.
In regards to COVID relief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. And yeah. We can always hope. I mean, let's just get this out of the way right now. I think we all hope it is. I hope that, and there are some encouraging signs, the vaccine. I mean, I you've got to admit, Biden's teams, how they have handled this vaccine, when they got in there was no vaccine. There was no infrastructure to get vaccine out. There was no plan to get vaccine out. And
there was no vaccine. Biden had already gotten his shots.
There was no stockpile of vaccine ready to go out to the people. The there was limited amounts from the people inside the Washington, D.C. that had said it. There were limited amounts that were basically being sent to very specific areas, which was a little concerning. Yeah. It's completely changed now under Biden. And you have to admit, a month and a half, 6 weeks into his term. And the fact is now we're getting to a point where even the seniors now are getting vaccinated in such large enough numbers that we can really start opening this up across the country. He's done a pretty good job with this.
Well, the next phase after the development of the vaccine, which was in record time, is production. And after production comes distribution. And so the fact that you have this large amount of people getting shots in the arm right now, that is commendable because that is what needed to happen. Mm-hmm. The question, though, is at what point, and the problem is, in my mind, Matt, the science, we don't know, all right? We got some different guidance this week of, okay, if you have already had both of the shots or in the Johnson & Johnson case, you've had the shot, maybe you don't have to wear a mask around everybody. You know, at what point do we know where we get closer to normal? And
well,
we don't
I think
have a good answer.
Well, and you're referring to the CDC stuff. I took that as very clear that if you're elderly and you both have been vaccinated, you can get together with, first of all, with family, you know, and, you know, understanding that, you know, they might not be vaccinated, but if you're following protocols, you should be able to get together with family again, which is a big sign. And sure. I believe it, what they were saying is for elderly people to get together with friends for dinner, make sure everyone is vaccinated. But these are these first signs. And one of the truth, I understand the fact that, you know, is it fair to, I mean, we can rip on Trump on a lot of things. Is it fair to rip on the guy that the fact that the distribution system and the approval of some of these things did not happen until either the very end of his term or after, right after he got out of office? Can you criticize him for that to a point? No. But at the same time, I will say this. He did not have, I mean, from everyone, every health expert that was there, they said that the new Biden team came in the door and they said, okay, where's the distribution plan and where's the vaccine? And they're like, we haven't got any. We don't know. I mean, he really had to bring this up from scratch on such a large scale.
Well, I think there's some back and forth coming from Washington on that. What I was meaning when I was talking about the science is not certain is, yes, the CDC amended its policy this week in the way you accurately described. But I guess my broader point is we're still in uncharted territory. And so I heard someone last year use the phrase grace. We need to have a little bit of grace here during all of this. And I think that we should have a fair amount of that, quite honestly, because we don't know quite what we're dealing with. And I've tried to be very clear about saying I was not going to criticize any government official or leader or whatever designation you want to have for doing the best that they thought based on the evidence they had at the time. I wasn't going to second guess these people because something was just very, very, this was something we hadn't ever lived through. So the question now is, as we get a little more experience about the efficacy of the vaccine, get some accurate information about the side effects when you get the second of the two, because that's something that they're not talking about very much right now because they don't want people to be afraid and not get the second shot. It's a normal thing when you're talking about a multi-stage vaccine, though. All right. I mean, you occasionally have some adverse reactions. It's going to take some time. Now, when I talk to people who are tied up with the national business community, Wall Street, et cetera, they're saying we need big money and we need it right now. And that I have no reason to doubt that. Here's my biggest issue at the moment and why I have had hesitancy about this big a bill right now. How quickly can you get it in the hands of people? The stuff that was passed in December still isn't distributed fully. That doesn't mean you don't go forward now.
No, you're right. You're right. I just got a notice myself saying, oh, by the way, we're going to send a check. I was like, for what? What is – oh, this is the last one. It's 2 months, 2.5 months later. Yeah, okay, fine.
Money's coming in. I don't know how to stop it. Yeah, but that's the thing is that they've got to be efficient, not only with what you accurately know about vaccines, of course, certainly, but if you're a business owner – you know, holy cow, okay, you're on by a thread. And so you need this as quickly as possible, and I don't know what the delay is. You can't say
well,
now.
Well, it just got signed today. It just did get signed today, yeah. It's gonna...
Right. I'm talking about the December stuff, right? Okay. And okay, so we know that any delay from this point on is not going to be because Joseph R. Biden Jr. wanted his name on the check. They've made it very clear they will not hold things up for that, okay? But again, government has got to be nimble on something like this. And I'm not saying, you know, I don't know enough about it, except to know that when you've got vast sums of money authorized by Congress that hasn't made it through the pipeline, I don't care what the situation is, but especially in a pandemic or a crisis –
Well, and we'll have to see, because you're right. The last one, it wasn't distributed efficiently, but that I think also had a lot to do with the fact that administration had been bleeding personnel for months, and I just don't think the personnel were there to get it out. It will be interesting to see how long it takes Biden. We'll have to evaluate that after that point, though. But I want to go back to the Republicans. Mm-hmm. Not a single Republican in the House voted for this. Back in when after the storming of the Capitol on January 6th, and the Democrats were bringing up impeachment charges, Republicans screamed about why are we doing this sideshow? We need to be doing things to help the American people get through this crisis. That was their standard thing. Now, I'm going to read this. This is Politico. The latest poll number, support for the American Rescue Plan, supported 75%, oppose 18%. Among baby boomers, 74% support. Among evangelicals, 74% support. Among Trump 20 voters, 55% support it. Among GOPers, 59% support it. It is overwhelmingly popular, even within their own party. Mm-hmm. But the same people who were screaming 2 months ago about we need to get stuff done have spent the last 2 weeks screaming about Dr. Freaking Seuss and refused to vote for this bill. You know, there is a feeling of detachment here, which is pretty spectacular. I mean, you really have a lot of Republicans who I think just only look at this as a Biden bill. They don't care about whether it's going to be beneficial. They don't care. I said before, I didn't think the Senate was going to get in the way of this because they need it. But the House Republicans, they're definitely going to basically, they've made the thing that this is not a good idea. I just, they're definitely, they don't be seeming to read the room. They're not doing that very well right now.
You can walk and chew gum at the same time, and you can rail about cancel culture and yet also look at funding to help people who have been affected by a pandemic, right? You don't have to do one or the other. And so you can do both. I'm concerned about we've talked on this program about the fact that I'm not the biggest Nancy Pelosi fan, and I think you are.
At times, I'm not the biggest fan either. Yeah.
So here's the thing. There was the subway. I don't know, whatever it is in her district. There was some project, right? The percentage of the whole was literally less than 1%, right? I mean, the spending for this subway in her district was less than 1%.
I think it was like 0.0007 or something like that out of the whole bill. Hardly anything.
It's minuscule. Now, it's a lot of money to you and me. I'm not writing a check for it. Exactly. Okay, but here's my question. Or the only thing I mention is why and Republicans can't get out of their own way. And we've talked about this before. You know, where I have said, what are they doing? They just can't get out of their own way. Why is that even in there? If I'm her, why give them anything? Because what did they do? These Republicans who are posturing on all sides, House and Senate. Well, you know, the speaker has this big, it's a distraction. You know, if you don't give them something like that, then you don't give that whole narrative. And that's the thing where I say, you know, you could have, you know, done $1.8 trillion and not had this kind of stuff, because then it lets them go back to their districts and have little coffees on Saturday morning and say, I tried to stop Fancy Nancy.
With a bill that would pass with 75% approval in the country, though. You're going to be talking to the same people, but I mean, at the same time, you're going to have a lot of people saying, well, I would support that bill. I'm glad they passed that bill.
Well, here's the thing. If you're talking about COVID relief, yes. But how many times do those same voters that said, oh, yes, I'm in favor of a COVID bill, are the same ones who are going to, and I have them, you know, here when I have politicians come in, they send emails and say, why'd you vote for this bill that, you know, talks about transgender studies in Pakistan or whatever? You know, I mean, these very small things. In other words, they laser in on these things. And I don't know why you give the other side ammunition.
I'm going to counterpoint you right away.
Sure.
The reason why you do this, the reason why $15 minimum wage was in there, is because of exactly this vote. These people are, their only way they'll pass anything is if it's their way or the highway. They're going to oppose Joe Biden, even if Joe Biden came up with the Ted Cruz Act of 2021. Ted Cruz would still vote against it because it came from Joe Biden. These people are zealots. They're not going to change. They're never going to change. And henceforth, you already know that such things as a $15 minimum wage is already dead on arrival, because they're going to do everything in their power to kill it. And so the reality is yeah, you're going to have to. And I'm not a big fan of rolling a bunch of stuff into bills either. The vast majority of this bill is good, straightforward stuff. It is a small bit of minor projects that were added in there. But the reality is when you're dealing with a party where their only mentality is my way or the highway, well, then you have to kind of take advantage of stuff when you can actually move things forward.
All right, well, let me turn that back on you and say, if in fact the Republicans are going to vote against the We Love Ted Cruz bill if Joe Biden was behind it,
yes,
then why not just offer the We Love Ted Cruz bill and make them vote against something where they can't then say, well, there's this one little thread here that I decided to pull on.
because they're just everything is a D or an R. Because that is right. And you see, is the people that they're talking to, that 25% that still hates this bill, even though they're going to gladly take the checks from this bill, they will wallow in the negative source. You're right. They'll go back there and talk about Nancy Pelosi subway. And that's all these people will talk about, even as they cash these checks. But the reality is this. It's not a 50-50 bill. Three out of every four people like this bill. And so, you know, if this is going to be your big strategy, you're going to have to convince a lot of people that are about to get a needed check that all that needed check was really bad because Nancy Pelosi got a subway car. And I think most people are going to look as like, I don't care. I just don't care.
I'm not as confident of that. I'll just say I'm not as confident of that. I think what will happen is, you can't do this in a vacuum. You ask a poll question, are you in favor of a COVID relief bill? Well, sure. Okay. Then they turn around and say, this bill had so much fat in it, Representative so-and-so, why did you vote in favor of it? And so literally the voter doesn't make the connection in the way, because they're looking at two very different things. Mm-hmm. And nobody said bases were consistent. They can be quite fickle. And you know, if you're a Republican, I'm taking a guess here. I haven't talked to anybody about it, but I'm guessing if you're a Republican who's looking to run for re-election next year, how do you hurt yourself with your base, polls notwithstanding? How do you hurt yourself with your base by saying, well, yes, I want to help people, but this was too fat a bill? Because they're not going to look any deeper. I mean, it's all a talking point. Yes, it's a show. It's a complete show. You don't even need to take the vote, right?
We got to take a break. I got to get a break in. But I also find it funny that you're right, because there's a lot of people that love that rail against socialism, but they love it when it comes in a farm bill. Quickly, tornado warning. There was another one that was put out here. Southeastern Le Sueur County, South Central Minnesota, Southwestern Rice County in South Central Minnesota. That one went out. Anyone else we got going on?
I haven't seen any other ones, but there was a report of a touchdown in, it was near, I think, Watertown, kind of in that southeast area.
Oh, no, Watertown's on the west. So south.
Oh, what's the name of that town?
We'll take a look at it during the break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll get that updated as well. More with Jeff in just a moment. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. So, following with Sven Sundgaard, there was that tornado warning that was coming up from the south, heading towards the northeast, just south of the metro area. Sirens did go off in Lakeville, just south of the metro area, but they did go on. They did turn off as well. There's that other tornado warning we've heard about. Once again, severe weather moving through the area right now and going until about 6:30 tonight, so keep an eye out there. But if you're going to the northwest, it's a winter storm warning of that direction. Looks horrific up here in northwestern Minnesota. Jeff Stein joining us right now. Jeff, I'll tell you what. I'll let you, if you want to continue. You were saying something. I had to cut you off.
No, all I was saying was that on my comment today, I pointed out that Ron Johnson, one of your favorites, required that they read the 629-page bill last week, and everybody knew how the vote was going to go. It was nothing more than a political stunt, and this is what, you know, we're down to. We can count votes, and so now we're just resorting to stunting.
Well, and that's the egregious nature of it. They all wanted it passed. I mean, the Senate was where they were going to stop it if they were going to stop it. They wanted it passed. I think that even if Manchin had voted against it, they would all of a sudden, Lisa Murkowski would have voted for it or something like that. They wanted it passed, and you're exactly right. They're trying to do political theater, and it's jammed down our throats. But the reality is, it's kind of a joke. I have a quick question for you. I gave you credit earlier this week. You had always said that Donald Trump was never a Republican. He used the Republican Party to get to the White House, but he was never a Republican. I think nothing showed that more than his all of a sudden kind of bizarre war with the GOP, where he's now telling his supporters, do not send checks to the GOP, send them to me.
Isn't that tremendous?
It is, really.
He merged his reelection effort. And it, in essence, the RNC and his reelection effort were literally merged. There was no light between them. The RNC is holding a big donor event in part where? Mar-a-Lago coming up. Okay, so we're all still very friendly unless he thinks that they might be able to get some money off of selling a T-shirt with his logo. Now, by the way, as a public figure, he does have some of this. You know, you can't just sell a Trump T-shirt and have the words "you're fired" on it, because that's a violation of trademark and copyright. But now that he's been an elected official, it's a little grayer area. The mere fact that he's telling them, well, there are two things. The mere fact, first, that he's telling them that they can't do it is pretty amazing, because it shows that he's in it for himself.
Yes.
How about the fact that they've all ignored him? Every single one has ignored him. You can still buy whatever stuff you want off of the RNC website that has Trump's name and image on it, because they said, yeah, okay, thanks for the note. Bye.
And it's you get into that character because you're like, celebrity is one thing, but, you know, it becomes, you know, you're a president here. You know, we've not really ever gone down the path of marketability of president's T-shirts afterwards. It's just something that happens. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But needless to say, I think he's looking for the money and then he's going to run.
He's going to subsidize his lifestyle. Yes. By touring the country and having his staff and all of this. And that's why they make it very clear. You want to donate, go to DonaldJTrump.com. Don't even go to a website.
I'll put the Iowa Politics Report out a little bit later on. Jeff Stein, kind enough to join us hour two up next. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Matt Brett here today. So our prayers have been answered here, Brett. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell, the Trump ally who's been barred from Twitter for spreading election-related conspiracy theories, plans to launch his own social media site. The platform could launch within a month, Lindell said on Charlie Kirk's podcast on Friday. Every single influencer person on the planet can come there. You're going to have it. Well, will they, though? They could. They could go to an Arby's, too. I'm just going to guess they're not going to be there.
I could make my own social media company, and I could have billions of people join.
Everyone's welcome. Yeah, come on by. He said it's not just like a little Twitter platform. He said he's been working on the site for 4 years. Because Lord knows technology sits around for 4 years while you catch up to it, huh?
He's a busy guy. If he's doing that and stop the steal stuff, wow.
Mediate first reported on the news. The voting machine company Dominion last month filed a $1.3 billion defamation lawsuit against Lindell, who spread the conspiracy theory claiming that Dominion's technology had switched votes from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. The theory has been thoroughly debunked. He was barred from Twitter in January, and in February, both YouTube and Vimeo pulled out a two-hour film called Absolute Proof that he made about the election. Lindell claimed in the podcast that 140 million people had viewed the film. No. Maybe 140.
That's more people than watch the Super Bowl.
It is. That's like Lady Gaga video numbers there, Mike. I'm pretty sure that you didn't get that.
I mean, he's got to do better on the sales there. He could sell some real advertising if he's getting 140 million people watching that thing.
Lindell also spoke about cancel culture, and his Wikipedia page has been changed to something I'm not without giving specifics. All right, who's editing Mike Lindell's Wikipedia page? Someone must be editing it. Pull it up, and if you start laughing, tell us what it is, but be clean about it. And by the way, I have no idea who is editing that. No idea whatsoever. Anyway, Google canceled me on some things, I can tell you, he added. He bought ads on the search engine so that more people would see his election fraud evidence. He said Google took tens of thousands of dollars from him in advertising revenue before he shut me down. Lindell also says that even the bad stations would have him on their shows to talk about Dominion election fraud and the conservative coronavirus vaccine. They're suppressing our voices. Now, he's saying this on a podcast. So, you know, and we're reading about it because someone covered the podcast. And so, yes, once again, my First Amendment rights that I'm screaming at the top of my head, at the top of my lungs, are somehow violated. You seeing any obvious edits?
No, they must have fixed it. It's all pretty standard right now.
He said his social media platform would offer an alternative to these sites. We're launching this big platform so all the voices in our country can come back and start telling it like it is again. Here's your problem, though. You need, if you're going to do a platform, you need, first of all, a company to host it. And then you need the app stores to carry it. And right now, that's the problem with Parler, is that no one is going to be hosting their you know conspiracy site, and because they have to put up some code of ethics to get on there. And then the problem that they also have is most people have a smartphone, and when you're looking at apps, you're getting them from like the app store that's on your smartphone. Well, none of the smartphones are going to pick their app stores are going to pick this up. So I don't know how he's thinking he's going to get this.
He's going to start his own phone.
Pillow talk with Mike Lindell.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
If he doesn't have this, if Pillow Talk is not the name of his social media platform, he needs to fire his marketing people, because that's actually brilliant. Pillow Talk with Mike Lindell. Hello there. How you doing? Do you want to hear what I think about what happened with Dominion? It kind of ruins the mood of the Pillow Talk, but still, it's there. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I didn't mention this story earlier. The City Council of Ramsey no longer will enforce Governor Walz's statewide mask mandate, saying doing so is infringing on people's individual rights. Well, not the people who are going to get sick and die, mind you. Their rights were stomping all over by doing this. But, I mean, Jimmy John, he over there who wants to go get himself a pitcher of beer and some chicken wings. His freedom to do so is going to be intact. The Ramsey City Council on Tuesday voted 4-3 to pass a resolution instructing that no city resources can be used to enforce Executive Order 2081, which requires Minnesotans to wear a face covering in certain settings, and that any other orders that infringe on people's unconstitutionally protected rights, especially as it's related to COVID-19. City Council members Ryan Heineman and Chelsea Howell proposed Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-E. Okay. Chelsea Howell proposed a resolution saying that the orders have broadly undermined the basic human rights of our neighbors, our families, and ourselves. Well, that's how the people got sick and died. We're not talking about them, I guess. I'm adding that last part on. They didn't really say that last part about the people that got sick and died. They just said this stuff about basic human rights of our neighbors, our families, and ourselves. City Attorney Joe Langille in the meeting agenda packet said the City Council doesn't have the authority to instruct law enforcement not to enforce certain laws, noting the mask mandate has been argued in court and has been upheld. Ramsey Police Chief Jeff Caters stated in the meeting packet that while the mask mandate is not actively enforced by police, they are bound to enforce the law. Before the vote on Tuesday, Langille again discouraged the City Council from passing the resolution, saying, "You can't ignore executive orders because you disagree with it," said the Star Tribune reporters. It still has the full force of the law. Mayor Mark Kuzma, K-U-Z-M-A, who returned to work this week after recovering from COVID-19, voted against the resolution. Gee willikers! Wow! Saying he's disappointed the council brought it forward. "COVID is real," Kuzma said. According to the Star Tribune, wearing a mask is no big deal to me. Early in the pandemic, a few Minnesota cities passed resolutions saying they wouldn't enforce the governor's stay-at-home orders or allow businesses to reopen if they choose. Then during the restaurant and bar closures in November, December, some businesses took it upon themselves to defy Walz's order, and that has not gone well for them. I'll get to that here in just a second. There are also other efforts in Ramsey to pass such measures, but they failed. So let me get this right. You as a city council have a mayor who is just recovering from COVID. And what? You thinking, you got it because you're lucky. God, we're going to make sure no one has to wear one here in our town. What kind of fools are you? Your own mayor is recovering from this, and you fools sit there and say, no one has to wear a mask around anybody. Ramsey, I said this when I read the story. Thanks for letting me know you are not going to be getting any money from me. I am not going to stop in your town. I am not going to buy anything in your town because I can't trust you knuckleheads to keep people safe. Dear Lord. What happens if you disagree with drinking and driving laws? What happens if you disagree with them? You're just going to, you can't come up here and drink. I don't care how old you are. And you can drive. We don't care. Oh, you wouldn't do that because that's a public safety measure. Oh, I see. Funny story about the mask mandate. That's a public safety measure too. Wow. Just, you know, just go to South Dakota and bring your stupid back. Take it over that border with you, okay? Just take your stupid and go to the Dakotas, okay? We don't need you here with that. I mean, dear Lord. 952-946-6205. Let's get to the other news here. Good news. Roughly 1 in 5 Minnesotans has received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine to protect against the coronavirus that caused 493,113 known infections, 6,705 deaths in the state. You hear those numbers and you just, in Ramsey, just think about that. God. The COVID-19 totals include 9 deaths and 922 infections reported on Wednesday by the Department of Health. Of the 1,103,353 people in Minnesota who have received the vaccine, 615,432 have completed the series either by receiving the 2 doses or getting the single dose from Johnson & Johnson. State officials lauded the progress, noting that Minnesota is among the fastest states in vaccine administration, but said it must continue to order to shield the state from the coronavirus and some more infectious variants of the virus. The variants are a concern that's out there, and it feels like a race to get folks vaccinated. Part of the strategy included boosting confidence in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which has been questioned because clinical trials showed it less effective at preventing COVID-19 overall, but equally effective at preventing hospitalizations and deaths. State Health Commissioner Jen Malcolm chose to receive the new vaccine on Wednesday in a public event. Encourage people to have confidence that all 3 options are out there, the two dose options and the 1 single dose option, first available to them. The 3 vaccines work in the most important ways, said Dr. Frank Rahm, R-H-A-M-E, an Allina health virologist who led a clinical trial of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine in Minneapolis last fall. I do not fear getting mild COVID personally, he said. I don't want to be hospitalized. I don't want to go on a ventilator. I don't want to be dead. All the vaccines seem to be really good against that, which is true. That's what you're hearing there. A COVID-19 outbreak in Carver County is a concern because it involved young athletes in organized sports and more infectious B117 variant, first identified in England on Tuesday. The state reported 114 infections in that cluster, including 29 confirmed that involved the variant and 32 with a genomic sequencing analysis pending. Good idea, kids. Feeling sick and you still went to school. The state recommended a 2-week pause in organized sports in that suburban county because cases involved athletes participating in hockey, basketball, and other sports. Some viral transmissions were in gatherings after games and practices and in fitness centers after athletes were infected during team events. Give me an idea here. I'll say this. I live in Hennepin County. But because of these knuckleheads here, they've canceled. My kid plays on a soccer stadium. And I want to say this. The soccer league, they take temperatures every time they go in. Everyone has to wear a face mask. You have to socially distance. They do a very good job. But you can't even get a practice in Carver County because these kids went out there and their parents, the knuckleheaded parents that allowed this to happen, basically got, you know, made so many people sick in Carver County, they have to shut down every facility. So even though you have a facility there, you want to talk about businesses being hurt. How about the businesses there that have to turn away customers who aren't even from Carver County because some kids decided not to take this seriously? You hear that, Ramsey County? City of Ramsey? You hear that? They're costing money because there are idiots out there that didn't take this seriously. Dear Lord, you actually take it seriously, especially when your mayor is just recovering. God, is that all it is? Is the world is that people can die, people can get sick, but as long as you feel like you're upholding the Republican standard, that doesn't matter? Is that what this really is?
Well, as long as it's not my family getting sick, I don't care. Republicans like it. Democrats are bad. Good.
I mean, what's wrong with you people? I just, We've done a year of this, and you still have the stupids, the just bone stupid people trying their hardest to win a debate against a virus. Just stop being stupid, will you? Intentionally stupid, too. The outbreak is troubling because parallels the spread of the virus in England, where people weren't concerned at first because initial cases involved young adults who rarely suffer severe COVID. The sporting event is the ultimate mix and match kind of environment. Severe COVID-19 is rare in children who are ineligible for vaccine for now because it wasn't tested on younger ages. Only the Pfizer vaccine is available to people 16 and older. The age cutoff for the other two is 18. Children could spread the virus to others at greater risk, though, including senior citizens who have suffered 89% of the COVID deaths at this point. So it still is very serious. It still needs to be taken very seriously. The CDC is discouraging spring break travel. The Mayo Clinic's Dr. Gregory Poland, he agrees with that. Every time we have a big travel holiday in the U.S., we can count on a surge of cases over the two to next 6 weeks following that, followed by an increase in hospitalizations, followed by an increase in deaths. We've done that experiment, and we've done that multiple times in the U.S. I mean, seriously, how many times do you have to see Republicans scream, "Open everything!" And in Republican-run states where they're stupid, they basically reopen everything, and then everyone gets sick. And even they begrudgingly have to shut things down, or else they're going to lose up half their population, for God's sakes, to the illness, being either sick or dying. You know, it's just... Minnesota had ranked among the worst states in the nation in this measure 2 months ago when many doses were being held for appointments scheduled days later. He used a series of state pop-up vaccine sites in other to pick up the pace. Health Partners added its first drive-through vaccination site in Bloomington. So that's some good news there as well. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. Come on back. There has been a development in one of the businesses that decided to challenge the shutdown orders that happened here. We'll talk about that, and when we come back, and I'll give you an update on the other, two of the more other infamous businesses and where they stand. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. By the way, I'm looking at Sven Sundgaard's social media. Looks like there might have been a tornado that touched down in Faribault area. Yeah, it looks like it's on the ground. Can't say for sure. That's from a Kurt and Devin Ruberg, U-R-R-U-B-E-R-G. The aunt's view from her backyard in Faribault. There definitely was some rotation on the radars that was a little concerning.
I'd like to ask Sven, how can you get a tornado when it's in the 40s? That would strike me as being too cold.
You would think. I'll see if I can get him tomorrow.
I'd like to know that, yeah.
Because that doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, there's so much energy. Well, we've broken the earth.
That's a contributing factor. Yeah,
in case you missed it the last few years. Oops. 952-946-6205. Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison says his office has reached a settlement with the Plainview Gym that defied Governor Walz's orders and shutdowns in November. The Plainview Wellness Center in Wabasha County refused to close when the governor enacted a shutdown of bars, restaurants, gyms, and youth sports in Minnesota dealt with its worst spike in COVID-19 cases. The AG's office filed the lawsuits against the gym and filed for temporary restraining order and an injunction on November 25th, requiring it to close. It still stayed open, however, until a district court issued a temporary restraining order on December 2nd. Gyms were allowed to reopen to limited capacity just before Christmas. Ellison's office announced that the settlement with Plainview Wellness Center on Monday, with the gym agreeing to pay a $5,000 fine and pledging to comply with the current and future requirements of any executive orders issued by the governor. Any future violations would result in a $25,000 fine. It's the fourth settlement the AG's office has reached with businesses that flouted the governor's executive orders in November and December, with a number of bars and restaurants remaining open to defiance of them as well. Ellison said in the state's COVID fight, "The situation is improving, but we're not out of the woods yet, so we all must keep following the COVID guidance and restrictions. My top priority has always been educating Minnesotans about their responsibility and winning vocabulary winning voluntary compliance, rather. Enforcement has been and will continue to be a last resort. So, it's the case. And once again, I mean, I want to make sure I point out one thing again with the Ramsey folks, which you guys are idiots. Your city clerk told you, we can't enforce this law. This is a law. This has been pretty much established that this is passed down. We can't just choose which laws the state passes we don't want to follow. Your own police department has said, I can't not enforce laws. So you're already being told all that is just a ceremonial decision, and yet you still went with it as your mayor is just recovering from COVID. That is just the epitome of you're Republican and you're determined that this was never a problem. It never was. And just you're bitter and angry, and God help you. God help you. Ugh. Like I said, these people that were out there, we should mention there is the interchange. I'm trying to figure out if the interchange is open now. They seem to be following the rules. This is the one down in Albert Lee, the coffee shop down there. What made me mad about them was they were the ones that took the government, the money from the state, and immediately spent that on party favors, not to help themselves, but they were going to have a big Governor Walz needs to be thrown out of office party. And they were so they basically took taxpayer dollars, bought a bunch of stuff for a party that was supposed to be free, so they weren't going to make any money off of it. And I was like, okay, I've lost it for you. If you're this stupid, then I can't help you. And then there, of course, is Alibi, which there's not much. They haven't said much. I mean, they definitely haven't said much since their owner, who was already in legal trouble for Yosemite Samming it out a window with guns pulled, trying to shoot police officers. For some reason, because he was white, he was allowed to be on parole. He was allowed out on parole, or not parole, on bail, I should say, on bail. Excuse me, parole would be convicted. He hasn't been convicted yet. He hasn't got to go to trial in that case. But he was allowed to get out on bail, and then he decided to go into a Jimmy John's and start smacking around a manager or something like that because they were requiring a face mask. There's that little nugget. They haven't had much there. My guess is that they're having to conserve a lot of money for legal costs. That would be my guess. When this is all over, there's a lot of people who are fighting the face mask. They're fighting any kind of closure rules, social distancing, they're fighting this, who are all going to be like, hey, guys, forget about all the stuff I said before. Isn't it great we got through this together? And no, I am not going to allow you to, I'm going to vilify you forever because you are just so, your politics overrode the well-being of the community. 6,000 people dead. Actually, the official number is 6,705 people in the state of Minnesota alone, 6,705 people dead from coronavirus. And if you were one of these people that kept saying, no, open everything, no face mask, I mean, my God, we had cautionary tale after cautionary tale after cautionary tale come at us from the West with the two idiot states to our West in North and South Dakota. We had the idiot governor of South Dakota going out there and say, I'm going to have Sturgis. And that one event likely sickened 250,000 people and spread coronavirus throughout the country and killed thousands. And yet, you guys, the game is over. You lost. This is you're trying to negotiate with a freaking virus, and the virus has kicked all of our cabooses. And you just keep still sitting there because you're so angry at Tim Walz that you gotta find someone to win. And so you stupidly go forward and you keep pushing these asinine ideas. Like I said, you guys love talking about liberty and freedom, but you sure as hell do not want to talk about the liberty and freedom of people to not get sick because idiots were idiots. You don't ever want to talk about that part of it. You just want to, you're just trying to wrap your selfishness into something noble, and that's just not going to work. Stop being the problem. Start being part of the solution. If at all possible, it shouldn't take you losing a loved one or being sick yourself for you to realize maybe for the betterment of us all, we should just wait until this is passed before we start trying to use our bravado as a way as a doctor's diagnosis, for God's sakes. 952-946-6205. Come on back. A story which has been a pet project story for me for a while, I get to revisit it. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I actually wonder when I'm actually going to stop wearing masks. I don't know if I'll ever, Brett, I don't know if I'll ever feel really comfortable going into a large, busy environment without a mask on for a while, at least. Considering this, like, I mean, if you went into like a mall, like the way malls used to be packed, that if that actually comes back, would I go in there without a mask on? I don't know.
What about if it was because I imagine this is probably going to happen in a few months and then last for a year. Let's say you have a concert at the XL Center.
Yes.
And they have a requirement everyone is vaccinated. Would you go maskless to that thing?
No, probably not. I mean, it's, you know, considering just the nature of it, your people in a closed space yelling. If it was maybe an outdoor concert, maybe. But I don't know. I think one of the things that this is should show us is that we've been lucky. And the reality, and if you didn't see the John Oliver Last Week Tonight segment from, 3 weeks ago, where he talked about the next big virus, they're coming because we as a society keep encroaching in on native areas where bugs and animals and where this stuff is coming from. And they said, you think this is bad? You know, we're going to find something eventually that's going to do some real damage, and it's going to wipe out 25% of the population. And then I can't wait for idiot cities to sit there and say at that point, why are we conducting everything? It means that 3/4 of people still want chicken wings and buckets of beer. That's going to be the scary part. That's the part that's going to be really scary. By the way, I got to take you to task here, Brett. Dan on the Twitter feed at Matt McNeil Show on Twitter drove from Rochester to Hopkins this afternoon. Over 60 degrees in Rochester, 40 in Hopkins. Warm meets cold makes tornadoes. That's what happens. So there you go. Just because I think the crushed weather systems there, that's where the problems came.
You know, then
we'll talk to Sven tomorrow about that. A battle is brewing over military artifacts that once stood in a Minneapolis memorial but now grace the halls of a suburban high school. Minneapolis Park and Rec officials have made repeated unheeded requests for Minnetonka Public Schools to return the items. Now they're hinting at going further. We're starting to exhaust diplomatic means here, Commissioner Brad Bourne said during the March 3rd Park Board meeting. It looks like the olive branches may have fallen off the vine at this point. And so I think the board should start taking some more proactive steps. The wheel of the USS Minnesota, a World War I battleship, has been missing since 1975 from the Memorial for War Dead at Bademakoska. Then in 2014, a bell from the USS Minneapolis, an armored cruiser, disappeared as well. So these are two separate ships, the USS Minnesota and the USS Minneapolis. Both artifacts were eventually found at Minnetonka High School by Southwest Journal reporters Karen Cooper and Zach Farber last spring. District officials maintain the artifacts were given to the school and now rightfully belong there. Nazi stealing art of you. I don't think you understand. Someone stole these from the war memorials, and just because you gave them to you doesn't mean you've got dibsies. I mean, the wheel had been hanging in the hall of the school atrium. The bell, and this one bugs me, was stored in the weight room where students would ding it when they accomplished a personal record. So I want to make sure we understand what Minnetonka High School thinks commemorating the veterans that served on the USS Minneapolis the armored cruiser there, how you support them. Some jock who just scratched his groin with his hand smacks the bell because he just maxed out on his triceps. That doesn't, okay, as a U.S. Army veteran, I'm a veteran. I'm a disabled veteran at that, too. Let me just tell you, Minnetonka High School, that's not showing respect for the military. That's not showing respect for anyone that was on there.
Hey, go high-five the bell. You just squatted a ton. Ooh.
That doesn't seem to me to be a good way to honor the veterans, because Jimmy there got a real big bicep curl going. And like I said, scratching their caboose, scratching their crotches, and then smacking that bell, that is not respecting the troops. That is just not. They also, by the way, the bell was dragged out to football games and rung for touchdowns. Because I can just see some coach going there, this is like war. This is like combat. We got this bell over here. That was because we got to beat Eastview.
let me
tell you something about a football game. If you feel as if a sport is like military combat, you're an idiot. Because your football team is not going to lose 9 guys on the field. They're not going to get shot before the end of the game. That's just, it's just a little bit of a smidge of a difference. I know. Recently, when they realized sweaty jocks smacking the bell was probably not the best way to do it, the Minnetonka school relocated it to the student commons. After the Southwest Journal story came out, Minneapolis Park and Rec Board President Jono Cowgill tweeted, "Hey, Tonka Skippers, could you please return our bell and wheel?" Park Superintendent Al Bengora sent Minnetonka School Superintendent Dennis Peterson letters in September and January detailing the history of the war memorial and the theft of the two artifacts. So someone, once again, the school is saying they're ours now, even though someone stole them and gave them to them. Wow. The MPRB is asking the Minnesota High School to return the bell and ship wheel to us immediately, Minnesota Parks and Rec Board. Time is of the essence, not only because the bell and wheel are important artifacts, particularly to the citizens of Minneapolis, whose Navy dead they were dedicated, but because the new USS Minneapolis-St. Paul will be commissioned in Duluth in 2021, and the Minneapolis Park and Rec Board has been asked to allow them to be on display during the dedication ceremony. The Minnetonka School District didn't respond, so Bourne proposed deploying park police after the missing items. State lawmakers are now involved. Representative Lori Pryor, DFLer from Minnetonka, sent an email on March 5th copying a bipartisan group of legislators asking Minnetonka school officials to communicate with the park board. Representative Jim Devane, a DFLer from Minneapolis, chairman of the Education Finance Division Committee in the State House, also emailed Peterson and Minnetonka School Board Chairman Chris Vitale saying, "I believe that children watch what adults do and learn from behaving. Knowingly retaining possession of a legally secured historical artifact sends the wrong message to students in your district." Reached by phone, Peterson told the Star Tribune that he had asked the Navy to determine custody of the bell and wheel, sir, several months ago. Okay, I'm going to stop you right now. Dude. Let me just say this. There's a lot about this which just screams at me. White people saying, yeah, and? Because that's what this feels like. Because the Navy, you should tell them what you were doing with the bell in the weight room. They're not going to be too happy with that. They like memorials. They don't want this to be the private property of a school district, especially when someone stole it from the memorial. So please, just stop with the, we're white and wealthy, what are you going to do about it? Crap. I'm tired of that, because that's what this feels like. That's what this feels like. It feels like we're white and wealthy, yeah, we're not going to give it back. And the Navy is not going to be on your side on this. They're not. Yeah, Peterson declined to produce documentation, but he said he had proof that the American Legion member had permission from the park board to take the artifacts into his possession before giving them to Minnetonka Public Schools. Dude, here's where I'm going to call you out. If you've got proof of that, that's your first foyer. That's your first thing you do. Here's the evidence we have that we illegally obtained them. You saying, well, we've got proof. I'm not going to show it to you. I mean, I'm not going to clear this stuff up right now. Oh, no, no, no. We're just saying we'll have it here in case we need it. Letters from the member bestowing the wheel and bell to the Minnetonka High School do not describe how he acquired the items. The bell has been polished up and looks better than it ever has. Minneapolis treated it very badly. When they had it, you know, we've been really honored and revered it as part of our student life, Peterson said. Yeah, because nothing says honoring that bell more than some jock jumping off a weight bench, scratching his crotch, his sweaty crotch, and then smacking that bell because that's what the veterans would want. Come on. I'm a veteran, okay? I'm getting the impression, Peterson, that you're not, because that's the kind of thing that someone who's not a veteran would actually say to try to justify their fairly anti-veteran behavior. I'm just going to say it. I don't know. Maybe you are ex-military. I don't care what school this is at. It could be my kid's school, Hopkins. It could be. Let me ask you this. Do you think anyone would be as tolerant and lenient at this if these bells had been stolen, the wheel had been stolen, and it was found at, oh, I don't know, Minneapolis North High School? My guess would be is they would, how dare the school district have this? Give that back immediately. You were doing what with it? It was in the student weight room? How dare you disrespect those veterans? That's what people would be like right now if it was Minneapolis North High School. Please. Letter doesn't explain this. And by the way, the American Legion has some explaining to do here as well. The bell has been polished up, looks better. Don't know. Like I said, that's someone who's not a veteran trying to say, look, I shined it up for you. Now it's all ready for the next big tricep curl competition. Yeah, that's called supporting the troops. They're not easy to communicate with, the Minneapolis Park Board, he added, declining to elaborate why he ignored the letters. Well, me kind of give it back because it's, like I said, I get the impression this is, we're wealthy, we're white, what are you going to do about it? And that's that they're going to try to hold on to it because, let's face it, they're military historical artifacts. They're worth some money. Minnetonka High School Principal Jeff Erickson did not respond to requests seeking comment. American Legion Minneapolis Post Community Relations Representative Mike Krogan also declined to provide evidence that Legionnaires had the park board's permission to dismantle the war memorial. Once again, the American Legion could clear this up. Minnetonka High School could clear this up with their evidence that they have. I'm doing the air quotes around evidence. Evidence that they say they have, but they're not producing it. It's kind of privileged information between us and them, Krogan said. We keep records and stuff like that, of course, and that has to be, and stuff like that, of course. We keep records and stuff like that and things like that, you know. And that has been available to the people that are authorized to see it within the American Legion. Oh, okay. I don't think you guys are telling the truth. I don't think Minnetonka High School might have the letters there, and they might be going off the impression the American Legion guy told them, oh, you can legally take this. The American Legion, I don't think, has got the evidence of this. I think this guy went out on his own and took it because he didn't want those inner city people, aka multiracial, multicultural, from disturbing what he believed was a war memorial, so he decided to give it to a school, which then basically put it in a weight room where sweaty jocks smacked it. Wow. Under federal law, the Secretary of the Navy may convey by donation artifacts for use as a museum memorial for public display. That's a key part here. So is your argument is, Minnetonka, if Minnetonka High School's argument is, hey, it's a public display, That's the key. It's a public display. We're going to create a memorial here at the high school. We're going to do our best. We're going to stop the jocks from sweating and grabbing the bell. We're going to put some signage with this. We'll make a nice little thing, and people can come on in and see it. One slight little problem, though, Minnetonka Public Schools. They did not permit the Star Tribune to visit the Wheel and Belt High School, which was returned to in-person learning, they say, because of COVID-19. Well, now wait a second here. If you are saying that this is going to be the memorial, and then someone wants to see it, and then you say, oh, no, you can't see it, that's not a memorial. That's you basically trying to prevent people from coming and seeing it. And before you say, well, Matt, COVID-19, well, you can come after school. You just have to look at the Star Tribune and say, tell you what, can you come by at 7 o'clock tonight? School will be out. There'll be limited activities going on in the school. We can come in. I can show you it. Bella Bennett, a 2019 graduate who created the Change.org petition calling on Peterson to return the artifacts to Minneapolis, said she and other Minnetonka alumni can't have pride in having stolen property. It was moved from an area that wasn't predominantly white and wealthy to a community that is white and wealthy. It's supposed to be owned by the public, and instead, the wheel is hanging on a wall. All students do is walk by and think it's just another decoration, Bennett said. It would be a great press for Tonka if they just willingly cooperated, which is why I'm confused as to why they aren't. When I first talked about it, my grade's student body president was sending the petition to people, and my grade was like, this is really messed up. So even the people at the school want this to go back to the city of Minneapolis. First of all, American Legion, what the hell you think you're doing? Hey, I'm a veteran too. I know a lot of you guys served. What are you doing? Who in their right mind on their own goes out and starts dismantling war memorials? Do you do that? Would you go do that at Gettysburg? Would you go and do that at Yorktown? Would you go over to the D-Day landing site and start scooping up dirt next to the graves? Is that what you'd do? Shame on you. Shame on you. And it seems to me what's going on here is there seems to be an attempt here to cover up for the person who stole these items. So now I'm calling you out. It's time to put up or shut up. Show us the evidence. You got evidence that says the Minneapolis Park Board definitively gave it to us and allowed us to do whatever we wanted to with it. Fine. Show it. Then I'll let the Minneapolis Park Board say, well, why would you do something so stupid? And I don't think it's even over then, because even if you did have that, the U.S. Navy is going to have something to say about this. And the U.S. Navy is not going to want their bell to commemorate someone getting a high quads number on their, look how tight my quad is. Let me scratch my butt. Smack the bell, ding. But if you have this piece of evidence, at least it would clear your name on this, because it sure seems like someone took it out of the fairly racially diverse city of Minneapolis because they didn't want it around those Minneapolis people and gave it to wealthy white suburbia. Minnetonka High School. Like I said, this sure seems a lot like we're wealthy, what we're white, what are you going to do about it? Come on. Even you have to admit this is a real crap way to show you support the troops. And I don't know if you're just trying to keep these because you think there's financial value in keeping them, but you garnered stolen merchandise. If they don't have any evidence whatsoever, which I don't know if they will, if they don't have anything that proves that they had the authority to take the bell and the wheel, then you've received stolen merchandise. And you should be just as livid with the American Legion saying, what in the world's going on here? So don't play this game. Don't go down this road. Don't think that there's some high point here. Just give the bell and wheel back, for God's sakes. And at the very least, please, as a veteran, as a disabled veteran, speaking for as many veterans as I possibly can, stop letting your sweaty jocks smack the thing. That is not supporting the troops. Jesus, I can't believe I actually have to tell someone that. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. I think everyone should get in touch with the U.S. Naval Department. I think everyone should, and ask the question. Do you think that the wheel from the USS Minnesota and the bell from the USS Minneapolis should be at a school? And do you think it's supporting the troops to have the bell in a weight room where sweaty jocks are smacking it? I don't think the Navy's going to think that's a great idea. I just don't. Tradition. And yeah, this ownership thing that you guys seem to feel. You understood people served for the right to be associated with that bell. I personally think whoever stole it from, if it was stolen from the American Legion guy stole it, that guy needs to go to jail. That guy needs to go to jail. Jail. Would you tolerate that like I said, would you do that? D-Day, if people started, I'm going to just take this headstone from D-Day, from the beaches here. I'm going to just take this home because isn't that a cool artifact? No one would tolerate that. But because they're two lesser-known ships, and it's a lesser-known memorial, that all of a sudden, if it was stolen, we're supposed to tolerate this? Holy God, no. Holy God, no. Doug is in Minnetonka. He wanted to chime in. Welcome on in, Doug.
Hey, how are you, Matt?
All righty.
Simple solution. I'm a 36-year Marine veteran, Department of the Navy. I've done some reading about this. These are stolen items. They were not given in any way, shape, or form. I've always valued my memberships to VFW and American Legion. I don't spend a lot of time there these days. Who does, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the pandemic and all that.
Exactly.
But here's the thing. If we got enough Legion members that were outraged enough, and by the way, let me back up a second. If this gentleman says that he has paperwork to prove that he was able to give these items to the Minnetonka High School and will not produce it, what does that tell you?
Well, and where do you, because the Navy sure as heck didn't give that authority.
No, they didn't, because I've done a little more reading on that as well. So,
well, first of all, I want to say thank you for your service. Marines, hardcore, 1,000 days from Sunday, for sure. Doug, I got to go. I'm at the end of the hour here, but call back by all means on another day. Thank you very much, and I would love to actually talk to Doug more about this, because I'd love to hear the research that he's done on this. Because you just don't give away military artifacts. You don't do that. And even if some knucklehead at the park and rec said it was okay, which I highly doubt, considering the way they're acting, even if they did, the U.S. Navy is going to have something to say about this. Contact the Navy and ask them what they think. Native Roots Radio, that's up next. Until tomorrow. See ya.